DW Africa Link. Imagine if Nigeria had its own national airline. Well, once upon a time, they actually did. Nigeria Airways, established in 1958, was not just an airline, but a symbol of national and African pride. However, it is no longer in operation after being liquidated in 2004. The country has been striving to revive its national career, but has been encountering numerous challenges and setbacks. So what needs to be done to return Nigeria's airways to the skies? Why does it even matter? And how will it benefit ordinary Nigerians? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
At its peak, Nigeria Airways boasted a fleet of over 30 aircraft. But by the time of its closure, it was left with only one operational aircraft. However, all hope may not be lost. The government remains open to the idea of a national carrier, provided it aligns with national interests and economic viability. The potential benefits of a national carrier are vast, offering hope for a brighter future in the skies. For more on this, let's connect with Captain Ahmed Borodo, CEO, Flybird Aircraft Management Services Limited. He's also a director at Flybird Aviation GmbH, that's an aviation services company in Europe. Welcome, sir. I also have with me Ben Chimang, who is our correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Hello, Ben. Captain Borodo, let's dig in. What's your general assessment of the aviation sector in Nigeria?
As we are aware, Nigeria has the largest population in Africa, over 200 million as of today. And then we probably have just about three airlines now that are fully functioning. I think Ebom Air, Air Peace, and then you have Max Air and Rano Air. But as it is now, the airlines are unable to meet the demand. They don't have enough capacity. They don't have enough fleet to carry the passengers. The major challenges airlines in Nigeria have been facing have to do with the high operating costs. You also have inconsistent policies, poor infrastructure, also the high debt burden the airlines are facing, as well as economic instability, you understand? Mm. Because a lot of the transactions, the things the airlines do, their costs are associated with the dollar, you know? Looking at about 75% of their costs are dollar denominated.
There's been a lot of talk about Nigeria not having a national carrier, you know, talk about Nigerian Airways. And somehow people find it a big deal. What's the big deal, really, that Nigeria doesn't have its own airline?
It has to do with national pride, you know, because you find that most countries have successful airlines, national carriers, especially Europe, from America, and some parts of Africa. And so it has to do with national pride. And then when we look at ourselves compared to other countries that have successful national carriers, you know, we wonder why we are yet to have something up and running as well.
Mm. So it's just for national pride. Now, I know a lot of Nigerians. One thing for sure is that they are very proud people. So I'm not sure how not having a national carrier reduces that pride, unless there's more to it than just pride. What is the advantage of having a national carrier? What would it do for Nigeria?
Economic growth, especially if you look at the volume of transactions related to flying the international airlines, you know. I think last year alone, we had to repatriate almost, I think, $1 billion, you know. And so that is the Forex. It's putting a large burden on the Nigerian economy.
Right, right. Ben Chimang, let me come to you. We've heard everything that the captain has said. You have also been quite vocal about the fact that Nigeria has not got a national carrier. What do you make of the situation now?
Honestly, Nigeria needs this national carrier, just like the captain said, in terms of this pride in within the Committee of Nations. Even when aeroplanes or aircraft generally are parked somewhere and news comes out standing, Air Nigeria of something, you are making a statement in such countries. In terms of international relations, when you fly around, anybody sees, oh, this is Nigeria. And if you also look at the array of employment that thing will create, it's huge as in huge. Because in Nigeria here, apart from Abuja, 36 states of this federation, virtually all of them have airports. And you can see that when people troop in, of course, they will always know what Nigeria is. And in terms of tourism, yes, it is a connection.
Okay, so there's been different attempts, Ben, for Nigeria to invest in its own national carrier. A lot of money has been spent on it. The closest we came to that was, you know, quite a fraudulent allegation or allegations of fraud that were meted out to basically someone during the end of former President Buhari, when it was announced that basically there was a carrier that entered Nigeria with the Nigerian colors, and it was sort of being presented as Nigeria's national carrier. But that wasn't the case. Tell us about that incident. I found it quite interesting. I mean, that was an allegation of fraud, wasn't it?
Yes, it was fraudulent, and it had to do with the then Minister of Aviation, Hadi Sirika, who felt there was the need to have revived the Nigerian Airways, because before now, there were other attempts to have, we had attempts like Virgin Nigeria, Nigeria One, Air Nigeria, Nigerian Air, and Eagle Air. So he just felt that a proper one should come. But unfortunately, he went borrowing, hiring some Ethiopian aircraft, painted them into a Nigerian color, did some inscriptions, and the thing came in here in Nigeria. In aviation parlance, I don't know how what they call it. You just see some water splashed on the plane itself, and people were busy clapping. So he got some ovations. People never knew it was a kind of a fraudulent act, because thereafter, people were asking. 2 days after that, none of the planes were available. They had returned to their real owners, and the color of Nigeria already changed. Right. So it's a big, huge embarrassment to Nigeria.
Right. And as we understand, just to clarify, there is an ongoing case regarding that alleged fraud incident.
Yes, there is. The Economic and Financial Crimes Commission has lodged a complaint. He's been arrested. So trial is going on for close to, I think, $2 billion or something, or something less. But all the same, he is on trial. I'm not sure of the figure.
Okay, fair enough. Let me come to you, Captain Barodo, because it is a big deal that millions of dollars have been spent on trying to get Nigeria a national carrier. But still, it's nowhere to be found. What has gone wrong? Where's all the money?
Okay, I think one of the problems that has happened regarding the national carrier issue is the processes were not transparent enough. And a lot of the operators, especially the airline operators, are of the opinion that, okay, if you are going to create a national carrier, those of us that have invested a lot, but have been paying a lot also to the government, especially with regards to taxes, you understand, the instability in the economy and a lot of things. Then you want to create an airline now and give incentives to the airlines, and then we don't see it as a fair game. So I think what everybody is asking for is a transparent process where if you want to create a national carrier, then, and if it's going to be private sector driven, then the existing carriers should also be given an opportunity to bid. If you're going to give incentives to the new national carrier, then the existing airlines should also enjoy some of the incentives.
You're making very, very strong points there.
Yes.
And so the question is, yeah, what really does it take for Nigeria? Is it a money issue or is it a political will issue? What does it take to have a national carrier?
I think it's a political will issue. It's a political will issue.
The interesting part to me is that if we know the
Yes.
key benefits of getting a national carrier, if Nigeria knows the benefits of that,
Yes.
why will there
Yes.
not be the will to make it happen? That's the part that confuses me a bit. You understand that, right?
Okay. So I think another issue is when the cost, the cost of setting up the airline, you understand, it's a lot. You're taking off, if you want to set up an airline, you're looking at about probably less than $200 million at least to start. So the
And Nigeria
government,
doesn't have
the
the money.
government has been, ha they've been having challenges. I don't think, and I believe the country has more priorities than to allocate $200 million to set up an airline. So they'd rather the private sector comes in to do it. So that's where the issue is. You're saying, okay, we don't have the money to fund the national carrier, but we want the private sector to do it. So if you're asking the private sector to come and set up a national carrier, then what happens to the existing airlines that are privately driven?
Ben, talking about partnerships, it's
Yes.
happened before, hasn't it, Ben Shemang, that Nigeria has tried to partner with some countries and even some private industries or people to deal with its, was the aviation issues, so to speak. How has that gone so far?
I think not just the federal government that tried it, but in a very escalator way. Partnership has been more with some state government, for example, trying it. Like Ibom Air, it's in partnership with some foreign countries, or they supply the airlines, and sometimes you see there's joint management. Therefore, sharing of profit, but it's not been easy, like the captain said. Now, if you also look at apart from the issues, teething problems, standing against the establishing of a Nigerian Airways, you realize that the past one, quite a lot of workers have not been paid. And they need their payments. Some are still alive. Even those who are dead, their families need those backlog paid. And there were also litigations abroad. I think the company, the relinquished one, at the point was owing too many companies. So there were threats abroad. The when they started first, some aeroplanes landed in some other countries, and there were some court cases. Yeah, you could impound those aeroplanes, the payments are done. So if all these things are not cleared and legal activities of the past airlines not cleared, I think even starting anything now is not going to make a headway because the Nigeria owes, even though the company is dead, but the country is not dead. Also, we still owe, so to speak.
So, Captain Barodo, what do we do now? We know there's been challenges with trying to, with Nigeria trying to revive its national carrier. It still doesn't have it for after years of trying to. We know that it's also quite expensive to invest in a national carrier. You've talked about the possibility of, public private partnerships of some sort. Is that the way to go now, or what do you recommend if indeed it is key for Nigeria to have a national carrier?
Yeah, so I'm still in support of the national carrier, but I think what the government should do is to number one, design and I mean make the process a transparent process where you would have a level playing field and everybody can come and participate. Secondly, the infrastructure has to be improved because if I'm coming to invest and set up a national carrier, I mean participate and invest in the national carrier, it doesn't make sense to invest a lot of money when the infrastructure is not there. You understand? I know the present government is the present minister has been trying a lot to see how they can improve the infrastructure. But let's wait and see what happens in the next few months. But I think the transparency is the most important, is the key thing, you understand, in the process.
Because yes, a lot of money has already gone into it. Experts say that the billions of public funds that have gone into the various attempts at establishing the national carrier are enough to set up a profitable airline. Is that something you agree with? And if that's the case, then where, how are we going to get the money back to, you know, get the airline business back on track?
Yeah, so you see, one of the major problems also is if you're going to set up an airline, for example, or the national carrier, and you want the private sector to participate, you're going to get funding, especially from the banks and even from abroad. But it's at this time it's a difficult thing because of the inconsistency in government policies. Look at what happened to Air Nigeria. So I mean, most investors are kind of not keen in investing in the airline industry because of inconsistency in the government policies. Because I don't want to invest my money and then tomorrow it's another government, and then they'll say, okay, the previous process was not done well, so it has to be done all over again. So I think those are issues that have to be straightened first. Yes.
Right. Just to jog our memory, our memory a bit, what exactly happened to Air Nigeria? Because just to be clear, Nigeria once upon a time had a national carrier and now it doesn't. What went wrong?
Yeah, I think the issues were mostly managerial, because in terms of the fleet, I mean, how many there were, it was such a very, very large number. But when democracy came in, there was this huge joke. When Obasanjo landed, he said, where are the aeroplanes are left when I handed over to Shagari? You know, in the same way, even the maritime sector, the number of ships that Nigeria had, they were so large that the world knew them.
But what happened? Where did they go? Why did Nigeria Airlines collapse?
It collapsed because of managerial issues. Let me tell you, Eddie, there was issues. Someone would want to just go for a weekend in London. All you needed was to give a note to the airline operator. This is my wife. This is my son. These are members of my family going on vacation. You started carrying people, conveying passengers without money being paid. How do you run an airline that way?
Are these allegations that have been proven? Are they issues in court? Or
No. These are not allegations. I want to tell you that I lived in Lagos. The compound I lived in, Oba Akinjobi, was comprising of aircraft engineers and pilots. There are discussions. I had them, and I can still call names of pilots and engineers that lived there. So these are not allegations. And their fear was that because of government interference, you just give a nod, you see a whole retinue of family members coming to go for a weekend in London under a rebate. Everybody was looking for a rebate or free flight. So it was purely managerial. It wasn't. It had nothing to do with lack of money or something as at that time. But today, because of inflation, whatever you are doing, whatever you're planning, inflation has deepened deep. Apart from corruption itself. Issue of maintenance came on board because as many aeroplanes were grounded, some in this country, some outside Nigeria, because at landing over there, they had technical issues. It was as if they would just resolve them and bring them back. They never came back. So at the point, some were auctioned out. even those that were functioning, they were sold at very ridiculous rock-bottom prices that embarrassed even some human rights activists and ordinary Nigerians who knew what happened. So it was managerial, surely, that was the issue.
Okay, okay. Captain Barodo, comparing Nigeria to other countries, I mean, when you talk about national airlines on the continent, you can easily mention Ethiopian Airlines, Kenya Airways, Rwanda Air, even. So why is it working for these countries? And what can countries like Nigeria learn from them if we call those countries success cases?
I think if you compare Rwanda, Ethiopia to Nigeria, when it comes to like issues like the corruption index, you know that we're far below them. So I think it has to do with corruption, you understand? Yeah, I think that's one of the major problems. That's why airlines in Rwanda, the Rwanda Air and Ethiopia Air are success stories, you know, because over there you have leaders who are accountable, and that is it. So, and then the political will as well. Yeah. So that is why, I mean, their success story is worth reporting. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. Ben, is there a sense that you find that Nigeria is becoming more and more serious about finally building or rebuilding its national career? Is there a sense that they are being more serious, or is it just more of the same?
Yeah, the fact that the permanent secretary of the Ministry of Aviation and Aerospace Development, talking of Ibrahim Abubakar Kana, he brought that idea just about 3 days ago and said there's the need to revive this. And apart from that, there's also they've been working on what they call total radar coverage for the entire country, because you can see that some airports cannot operate in the night, so to speak. So around 6 p.m., they just shut down. Should there be any emergency plane to land somewhere, you don't see that they don't. So they are now trying to wake up all of this and also trying to ensure that the ideal thing is done. And some people now say, oh, yeah, there appears to be a test run of this, because there is airpiece that now goes to London. But even in that, you could see that they are denying that Nigerian airline of a space to land in Heathrow. They've given them a local airport far off there, you know. So these are the things that the Minister of Aviation is also trying to correct, talking of Festus Keyamo. Mm-hmm. So I think they are serious here, as it appears, because... Okay. If you go to the airport, you actually see even the runway in Abuja here, they're talking about expansion and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But when you talk to people on the ground, Ben, how are they responding to this? I mean, do they find it a priority to invest in Nigeria Airways rather than deal with the harsh economic conditions that they are facing? Because we've been reporting a lot on the economic challenges in Nigeria. So do people find it a priority? Are they interested in the government even paying attention to this, or what are you getting?
Honestly, if you're talking about Nigerians coming back home for holidays like New Year, Christmas, they always say, oh, how we wish we can come back via Nigerian Airways. We get served with Nigerian menu and malakunu and all that stuff. That I know many Nigerians returnees want. But when you are talking of the ordinary Nigerian in the street, I mean, they just tell you, let people come by road, let people travel by road. What is it that, internally, so that government will begin to know where there are potholes, the dangerous areas, and they'll walk them. Yeah, I remember when there was insecurity so much along the Kaduna Abuja Highway. What did they do? They decided to remodel the track system, railway system, and they picked people from airport here to Kaduna. So that reduced, but the masses are saying the airways or air transportation is for the big guys, the big boys, those connected, those okay. who are rich.
Thank you very much. It's been quite an interesting discussion. Captain Ahmed Barodo, CEO, Flybird Aircraft Management Services Limited, also a director at Flybird Aviation GmbH. That's an aviation services company in Europe. Also, many thanks, Ben Chimang, DW correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Your thoughts and engagement are crucial to this discussion. So please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for minds.